Bang.
Bang, bang.
Bang, 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 bang.
Bang, bang.
Bang.
Boom.
Tomat attack.
Be a banging podcast this week, Matthew.
It is. Pump up the jams, Tom Parry.
And the shotguns.
Yes. Click, click, boom.
Doom.
Doom. Doom, doom, doom.
Boom, boom, doom.
Yeah, as you can tell, we've been playing some first-person shooters this week. Fuller, how are you, Tom Parry?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm a little tired, if we're being totally honest here.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm maybe as tired as you are.
I think the use of onomatopoeic sounds of gunfire, ladies and gentlemen, is me trying to pump some energy into my lifeless corpse.
That's the best we could come up with for this week's intro, I'm afraid.
Well, you know, my brain is running rather slowly at this moment in time, so apologies in advance.
We still managed to keep up with Doom just then.
We did, yeah.
The fast-paced first-person shooter that got released this last week, was it?
It was. No, the week before, I believe.
Was it really? Are we a little late to the party?
We are a little late to the party, but fortunately, thanks to a wonderful little incentive in our local GameStop, I was able to pick up Doom for 100 krona, actually 99 to be precise, but I rounded it up just because.
Sorry. What you said there, Doom 4.
Yes.
Or just
see,
Doom, as it is known.
My brain is not working
because
at that level.
This game is pretty much what we played years and years ago on our computers.
Yes, looking slightly better.
Looking just slightly better, yes.
Slightly.
But the core gameplay, this is what I'm referring to. I think the game's worthy of the title, purely Doom.
Yeah, shooting at speed as wave upon wave descends on you.
Mm.
This time you can look up and down, though, which is always a welcome thing.
No, it
seems really good. I picked it up at the cost of my copy of Battlefront and Rainbow Six because I was like, well, played both these games online. Both of them are very online-centric. Nah, I'm not going to play more of them.
Swapped it for Doom, which is as much as a single-player game as it is a multiplayer. Some may argue that the single-player is really where it's at.
Yes, it's probably what I'm going to spend most of my time doing, to be honest with you. I mean,
you have got an alternative
multiplayer experience, which I shall touch upon briefly in a moment.
Mm.
But I say briefly, I mean, it has kind of taken over my life to some extent to this point in time. But Doom is good. We've played the first two levels of Doom, and I can attest to the quality of that game. Believe the hype, ladies and gentlemen. Mm. I do want to talk about one thing specifically before we dive into the gameplay with a bit more depth.
Sure.
And that is that I got the UAV special edition of Doom in air quotes.
You did.
And it came with some patches and a poster and a manual. And it's like,
it's not just a cheap manual, though.
No,
it is full colour.
It is full colour, but it's just like, the UAV, like, guidebook, with all these things. And I was like, okay, well, this is going to be some, like, backstory and everything else. And then, I opened it and realised, this is just actually an instructions manual. In
these
the same
the
way
enemies. It does.
That it's an instructions manual with The Witcher 3, is that it comes with a cardboard sleeve.
Mm.
And then there's an instructions manual that's not an instructions manual in the back of it that tells you about all the world and all the lore and fills in all these things.
Yeah. It's a sad reminder of the age we live in now where manuals aren't a thing anymore.
Manuals are now like a nice to have extra that come in a fucking box.
And they won't even come inside the actual game box
anymore.
It's not
big enough to put in the case. It's just like it's too big to fit in a Blu-ray case. It's just like sort it out. At least print it the right size so I can slot it in.
Yeah.
Rah.
No, that bit in the front of the case is now just for leaflets with download codes on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Get the season pass.
Hey, buy the season pass. Hey, all that fun multiplayer. Here's some things for multiplayer that you don't want. Great. No, I couldn't care less about the multiplayer, if I'm being totally honest. I will give it a try so I can tell you people, but you've actually played the multiplayer.
Oh, briefly, and I was like, nothing new.
Yeah.
This isn't. This felt like I was playing Quake 3 Arena. And, you know, it's good if you want that it really delivers, but I don't know, it wasn't really pushing all my buttons. I was like, I can go and play another game and it'd be the same experience here.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But the single player.
Single player? Wow. It's cool. It's really good. It's like old-fashioned gameplay given a really nice modern facelift.
Yeah.
So I think people play this now who aren't familiar with Doom's heritage, perhaps, and have been used to playing Call of Duty or other similar games, will turn this on and go, well, this is refreshing.
Yes.
Whereas most of us who are familiar with Doom will go, wow, this is nostalgic. Or
there's no hold X to pay your respects or any of this nonsense you get in Call of Duty games these days. It's just like, cool, go through this, blow shit up, kill as many enemies as you can. Okay, little story beat now, which as Tom proved to me, I was like, oh, what are they saying about the story? And Tom was like, nah, fuck this. Just wandered away. I was like, no, go back, I'm going to give the story.
We're so used to that now.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. There's such a pace to Doom, you just want to... It's very satisfying shooting stuff.
Yes, it is.
You just want to get on with it.
You do, yeah. I don't really care. It's like, there's a little bit of exploration you can do as well, but I'm just like, nope,
doesn't
just want to shotgun people.
Down your throat particularly.
Yeah, they've made use of the chainsaw. I know, kind of, I apologize to listeners of other podcasts and purveyors of video game news, but I know some of our guys like to keep it retro. And I think those of you that do, that liked the original Doom and Doom 2, Final Doom, not so much Doom 3, visually it looks quite similar, as you were talking about,
Tom. I think the environment design of particular parts of the game looks like Doom 3. It certainly reminded me of Doom 3.
But I think that's just because they've taken what was there of Doom 1 and gone, okay,
cool,
let's modernize
they've
this.
They've taken this design angle that they had before,
yeah,
and used it again. Good, they're being consistent.
They've updated this entire thing to feel like a modern first-person shooter, but still kept it Doom.
Really, yeah, really good balance. You know, they could have done something like, I think they were originally planning on a game quite different before,
yes,
it was canned.
Scrapped completely. I think it was pretty much going to be Halo, which,
well,
I think why you look
like,
a little bit like,
from what I saw, more Call of Duty.
Yeah,
actually, which wouldn't have been quite Doom.
No,
this certainly is. So,
yeah,
great. I mean, I don't know what more. It's quite straightforward. It's
not really used that many weapons yet. Just a shotgun, assault rifle, a pistol, and the chainsaw, which now has a use. It's like a special melee weapon they use to cut through enemies, and then you get ammo. Mm. So it's just kind of like, okay, well, I need to use the chainsaw in these bits. I need to use my pistol in these bits. Oh, shit, there's a load of enemies. I need an assault rifle. There seems to be a good mix of making you switch between weapons for different scenarios.
Yeah. I like the glory kills.
The glory kills are fun.
They're very satisfying. It makes the game feel more brutal than,
yes,
it already is.
It does. It also, they're quite a nice
and
speed.
Funny, actually.
Yeah. there was a moment where I... the glory kills, essentially, I should preface for people who have not been keeping up with this Doom. Essentially, when you have done a certain amount of damage to an enemy now, and I mean like every enemy in the game, you get the option, they glow orange, and you get to do a glory kill. Which
pushing
is
in the right stick.
Pushing the right stick, the same you would do with the melee. And then you walk up to them and like you will like smash their face into the ground, or you will like rip off a limb and beat them over the head with it. There was a time where I literally jumped up on this guy, I did the glory kill on him, and I proceeded to rip his leg almost out of his socket and beat him, like smash his face in with his foot.
Mm. I think he rammed his foot down his neck.
Yeah, pretty much just like made his head explode with his foot, which is insane to look at. But it's kind of like that moment where Marv gets his face shot in Pulp Fiction when they're in the back of the car. It's just one of those like moments that are so gratuitous in its violence that it just becomes funny. It just kind of makes
you
laugh.
I mean, whether or not after you've seen this a few times, it might get a bit samey. I don't know. Right now, having how long did we play it for? What, an hour or so?
Played it for an hour or so.
Yeah, and it wasn't getting old yet, at least.
No, and I mean, it helps with the speed, actually, a little bit. Because, I mean, you know, it's just... It stops it being monotonous, I think, as well. Because you're like, bang, 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 glory kill. Bang, bang, glory kill. Bang, glory kill.
There's quite a lot of variety in the glory kills. It depending on which angle you attack the enemy at. You get, if you're attacking from the side, you like... punch his side of the enemy.
And I've seen a lot of them where he's just like literally just like smashing their face in or like pulling their jaw apart or whatever. Yeah. But I mean, they're completely over the top and they're kind of in tone with the game.
Yeah.
As it doesn't take itself
seriously. No, the game doesn't take itself seriously, which is like Doom, you know.
Yeah, exactly. It's just no-nonsense, like, right, cool, shoot some demons.
Yeah.
I'm all right with it. It's pretty good. I'm glad I picked it up. Definitely better than the two games I traded in to get it.
Yeah. It didn't take long to sell me on Doom.
No.
Unlike Overwatch, which took a little bit longer for me to understand, actually. And it was probably the payload mode which actually sold me on Overwatch.
Yeah. Well, I think you were a bit too harsh. Like we touched upon on last week's podcast, I bought Overwatch the day it came out, and I have played a good amount of it since then, so much so that I feel comfortable playing as like 7 or 8 of the characters and can do a lot with them and know which ones to play in certain situations.
I think
and things now.
The mistake that I made was jumping in with some of the more unique characters where I should have probably started with something that would be more familiar.
Yeah, like Soldier 76.
Which is what we did. Matt actually took me and our friend Maddie aside to introduce Overwatch 2, and he did a very good job of like a true Blizzard representative that he is not.
God, I wish I was. I wish I was getting paid to sell people Overwatch. I've sold like 4 copies now.
Yeah, yeah. Ran us through the game, and yeah, thanks, Matt, for that. You certainly.
Well, I showed you the healers. I showed you like the main gist of like the tanks versus the attack versus the defense and all this kind of stuff, as well as some of the modes and then some of the more unique heroes. Like I enjoy playing at the moment. My 3 hero rotation is mainly Soldier 76, Roadhog, and Mercy. I also mix in a bit of Widowmaker, and after playing her a little bit yesterday, I really want to play more of Tracer. I didn't get her when I first played the beta. I was just like, I can't get the zippy around thing because she has an ability which allows her essentially to do like quick jumps. I'm sure a lot of you will have seen some stuff about Overwatch, but essentially, you click down the L1 button and she like zooms forward very fast to different places. She's like blinking in and out of space. And I couldn't get used to it first of all, but no, now I know the distance she goes and how much time I have to do it. It seems like a very unique character. She's almost impossible to kill in some instances. She hasn't got much health, but she has an ability
she
to rewind time as well, which heals her and sends her back wherever she is, as well as a nice special ability, which is a sticky grenade. And I hope I managed to sell to you yesterday that there's 20-something characters and all of them are very unique. And I think you need to kind of play as them to understand, okay, cool, I can do this as this person, I can do this as this person. And I think you were like, oh, I'm kind of not for this game because I think a lot of it is I need to be playing as a team or I need to be playing as a situation dictates. And I think that is more true. I don't think you need to be playing as a team. I think you need to be playing for yourself. But I think knowing the characters and what they do, I think you can as well, but I think you need to do that with regulars. I don't think you go into
the internet. That's the thing, you know. Not knowing the people you're on a team with, I find that very difficult, kind of. Unless you're talking to them, but that's not usually how I play online.
No, me neither.
So.
But I mean, I think if you just have a basic understanding of the characters, you can do a lot yourself. If you put time into the game like I have been doing, I think you can get pretty good at it pretty fast. And I think you can realize, okay, well, all of them are playing as Reinhardt. I'm going to need to go some kind of tank or do some character that I can build up my meter very quickly to destroy the shields and kill the character.
That kind of knowledge is going to come with experience.
And it does. And I mean, it comes really fast, surprisingly. Like, I think I know what character can best which character already, and I've put like 7-8 hours into the game, maybe.
So how about that? Between two games, you've got a great single-player campaign
and a fucking
and
amazing
a great
multiplayer
game.
It
did take two games to get it, but
it did, yeah. But I mean, it just kind of goes to show, really, shouldn't it, that you should focus on, if you want to make a game with a strong story, you should make a game with a strong story, and if you want to make a game with good multiplayer, you should make a fucking
and
good multiplayer
game. And
that
pretty much is how things have gone. Isn't it, over the years?
Pretty much.
Let's think of an example. I mean, Call of Duty's never been renowned for its story, yet its multiplayer remains popular.
I think Call of Duty is perhaps the gap here, because, I mean, Modern Warfare...
You say
Warfare,
that's the middle ground.
I think Modern Warfare was incredibly well regarded for its story, so much so that it rubbed over into every first-person shooter for like 5 or 6 years afterward.
But more so in recent years, perhaps it's lost some of its storytelling edge.
Yeah, I played Advanced Warfare... and I played Black Ops 3.
The readers try very hard, though. I mean, Black Ops has so many layers to its story, but it's all a little bit confusing.
It's just trying to be overly cinematic. It's trying to take what made Modern Warfare good and amping that up by 10 every time, and so much so that it's lost its effect, and people are just getting bored with how it tries to tell stories. It's trying to be a Michael Bay movie rather than a video game.
But for everyone that doesn't manage to do it, there's another that does. Oh, Wolfenstein was a good example. And
yeah, both Bethesda id titles, you know what I mean? Like,
but it's not necessarily all about story as well, because as we mentioned before, Doom doesn't really, you know, put a lot into story. It's there at least, but it's more about what it throws at you.
But it's also making light of the modern first-person shooter as well along the way. There's
it reminds me of actually Blood Dragon in that respect.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's kind of got that vibe to it, a bit self-parody of first-person shooter genre as it's going along.
Yes, it's an amalgamation of different, as well as being purely Doom. You've got a bit of rage in its visuals. Yeah. Of course, by id Software, it was going to have that same kind of visual style. It's something about the roundedness of the objects and the kind of, I don't know what that is exactly, but something about the way they handle the graphics, the way the angle they come at with it. Reminds me very much of Rage. And Rage was a game I rather liked. That was quite ambitious.
I played a little bit of it, I borrowed it off you, and I was like, okay, this is all right. I never felt the urge to play it that much. But I don't know, I think this has come along at a time where I'm like, okay, I want a no-nonsense first-person shooter, I can just run around.
Yeah.
Especially where pretty much Overwatch is kind of giving me the same thing, almost. Like, there's a certain, you play Overwatch, and even though I'm talking about this level of depth that's there, I think that's also there with Doom in terms of you let the gameplay guide you. You let the gameplay just, you get lost in how pure an experience it is. Of, okay, well, cool, this character can do this, this character can do this. I'm not watching a 15-minute cutscene.
No, no.
Where, like, everyone's talking, man, it's going to shit, man. Oh, man, fuck. Ah, is no, like, gratuitous swearing, and there's no like stupid forced scenes where it's just trying to go like, oh man, look at this amazing moment, like this is a Hollywood movie, because it's just like, no, we're a game, we're fun.
Well, both games have been rather successful. I think Doom's are reasoning well, and I know that Overwatch
has sold like hotcakes, I believe. I love it.
But how well has Doom done? I'd like to.
I think it's done all right. I mean, you know,
early days, but
reception, it was generally
reception,
quite
critical
positive,
reception
so
was very good, and I think the name alone is going to draw people in, which I guess didn't happen with Rage because
no,
because it wasn't a known brand. Yeah, cool. So where to now with first-person shooters? I think this opens the door for a new time splitters, for sure.
Oh, God, I hope so.
I mean, playing Overwatch does make you think of the kind of fun cartoon-style experience that time splitters delivered all those years back.
Yeah.
And it certainly proves there's an audience for that kind of thing, because, yeah, I think it's sad that we haven't seen a time splitters yet, and why have they been holding back with doing this? Was it the Free Radical Crytek handover? They're, at least in this new Homefront game, they're giving you something time splitters. I think we touched upon this last time.
Yeah.
Last week. But I find that very interesting. Like, they're sort of testing the waters for it. So I'm anticipating it's a matter of time.
Top three games on Amazon at the moment are Overwatch, Uncharted, and of course Doom 3.
Uncharted's been marketed so much.
Yeah, I saw standout things, you know, like the card-faced things in, what the hell are they called? Sorry, my brain's not working today. Like
card-faced things.
Point of sales. Point of sales, you know, card stands,
but
with
pretty much
Overwatch on. And
Overwatch.
Uncharted as well.
Yeah.
Ah,
I was going to say,
sorry,
specifically
I apologize.
About Uncharted's marketing campaign is all over YouTube. Every other YouTube video you watch, you're going to get an ad related to Uncharted.
Yeah.
And so much so, it's getting a bit, I'm getting a bit tired of it.
I don't really care.
They've plastered it everywhere.
I'm going to play the the Nathan Drake collection at some point so I can go and play Uncharted 4.
I'm sure Uncharted is absolutely great.
But I've also got Valkyria Chronicles has also just come out, and I would like to play that instead.
Speaking of RPGs.
Yeah, you bought one.
Don't know what got into me. I bought the Tales of Symphonia Chronicles on the PS3 because it was a very affordable price. It was on a buy a 3-for-2 deal. It comes with two games, original Tales of Symphonia. Sales of Symphonia.
Sales of Symphonia, yeah.
That would be a one on a boat, perhaps. Sorry, I'll move on. I played a bit of it this morning, Tales of Symphonia.
Yes.
I haven't tried the other one yet, which is Tales of Symphonia, New Dawn, yes. Rising. Or
it's not very good.
But this one, okay, this was very sort of like my first RPG, it felt like.
Well, Tales games are actually use a very nice action battle system.
Yeah,
I'd
say the battle
appreciate.
System stood out. I played it quite a bit this morning. Well, you have to with RPGs, right? You've got to stick them in for 5 minutes. But the story itself, no surprises there. There's a tree, a mana tree, and there's a chosen one.
Yeah.
And then... So the story it wasn't anything astoundingly original. Graphics were nice. I mean, it looks like a GameCube game because it is a GameCube game. But not bad. To show how far we've come, though, in the visuals. But perfect for this sort of game. And then I got into the first dungeon of the game. I did a block-pushing puzzle. And this feels like Skylanders, actually, pushing blocks around.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed that. I liked that there was a variety. There was something to do in between battles.
Yeah.
It wasn't just wandering around like some RPGs tend to be.
Yeah.
You know, there was something there. Okay, so I come back to it. I mean, it's cool. I'm not going to make a habit of buying RPGs, but this seems like a solid quality RPG with, as you said, quite a unique battle system, which is real time. And I can see there are some depths to it, but I think at first this is overly simplistic. I can just hit X,
and attack.
I can kill. But then hold down R1, you can change. Of course, it's all about the placement of your team and yourself and the enemies, and placing yourself in the right place to get maybe healed by some of your partners as well. Blocking, it feels a little like a fighting game in that respect because you have to time your blocking as well. So I can see myself enjoying that battle system. Now I just have to keep it up and keep going back to the game, which is where I'm really going to struggle. But I enjoy my brief time with it.
Yeah, I mean, I've said to you in the past, actually, because there was a Tales fighting game released at some point, right?
I think so.
Something linking in with Namco Bandai characters, anyway. And I said to you back then, even, that I think you would like the battle system in this game because it's based around fighting mechanics almost.
I wouldn't have been too disappointed if it was turn-based either, because I do appreciate a good turn-based battle system. Pokemon's a fine example.
Yes.
I mean, that's simplistic, but it is very rewarding and enjoyable. And say, I've been playing a lot of Pokemon lately. So I think that's maybe why I decided to take a risk on an RPG.
I really enjoy
playing Pokemon. Maybe right now is the perfect time to get stuck into a more traditional Japanese role-playing game.
Yeah. Good. I look to see how you progress in that.
Yeah. You'd probably be waiting a while.
It's probably the last time we'll ever hear about it. No, speaking of RPGs, I've been playing a little bit more of The Witcher. Getting towards the end of that game now, finally. Just in time for Blood and Wine, the new expansion.
Just in time for Blood and Wine.
Just in time for Blood and Wine. See, I'm a poet even when I'm this groggy. No, that's out next week. It's out on Tuesday.
I find that quite interesting how The Witcher release their expansions like that.
Yeah.
The physical copies on the shelves, you know, a substantial product.
Comes with the Gwent cards, which are a big part of the game. Like, you can buy it digitally, it's cheaper, but the nice box with the things, and it has little manuals inside it as well.
Do you know on average how much gameplay you get out of each of these expansions?
15 hours, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, they're huge expansions. Like, this will be the last one, unfortunately. So, but it's good to know that even though I'm almost at the end of The Witcher, I still have a good 30 hours of storytelling left.
And you're not getting fed up of it yet? Because I know you had some concerns.
Well, it was just I had this bit where there's a quest in there called The Ugly Baby. Those who've played it'll be familiar, and those who haven't, it won't spoil anything.
Ugly Baby. I'm intrigued
now. That is a turning point in the game where you go and you start entering the end game stuff. If you do that, then a lot of quests get marked as like, oh, you can't complete this quest anymore. And I was like, oh, shit, but I wanted to beat that quest because I like that character, And I kept doing it, and I kept beating that quest chain, and then I kept going to do the Ugly Baby quest, and then it would tell me that I couldn't do this quest anymore. Yeah. And that was like 4 or 5 times where I'd spend a few hours doing these side quests, going like, right, okay, I think I've done all the ones now that won't get, that I can still do afterward. And it just came to a point where I was like, okay, well, fuck it. I'm never going to do that quest. It doesn't matter. It's side content anyway. As much as I've said, I've enjoyed the side content. I got to the point where I was like, okay, I'm going to be playing this game for years if I carry on like this. So I just want to see the story through and start on the new expansion, Hearthstone.
I did something recently when I started Shadow of the Beast. I started it on easy.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been doing that a lot with some games.
Because I didn't want to give myself a hard time, and I anticipated it was going to be a difficult game. Yeah. And when I spoke to one of our colleagues at work, Pete, who's also been playing it, he said, it's hard, isn't it? And I said, oh, not so far. I didn't mention I'm playing it on easy, actually. But I'd done the first couple of levels, but I went over him and said, I devoured your corpse the other day.
Yeah.
That's something you can do on Shadow of the Beast.
Interesting.
When a player who dies, when you play in your game, if you get to the point where they died, you can do something. You can either gift them a healing object or something like that, or you can devour their corpse and heal yourself. So you can either give them something or take something.
Yeah.
And devouring a corpse involves just pressing a button very fast and getting energy back.
Okay.
But it's quite fun to...
Say like, hey, I ate you. Yeah. I ate your lifeless body while you were at work.
Yeah.
Fun.
It's fun. It's a fun game. I need to go back to it.
Good. I finished Ratchet and Clank also.
Ratchet and Clank, the game we talked about in length last week, but didn't because we...
Yeah, because we lost the podcast. And sorry, even though I referenced that in the podcast, I was going to try and save it. It was beyond saving the file. It totally corrupted.
So let's talk about Ratchet and Clank now. You've been playing this I've had it a few weeks.
I've had this a few weeks. I've had it since it came out. I bought it when I was in Hungary on a vacation. And I liked it. But there's something that doesn't quite gel with me in the way that it did when it first came out. I don't know if that is the amount of time that's passed since Ratchet and Clank came out, or if it's just, it's not what I want from a game anymore. As I said on the last podcast before it got killed, that series owes a lot to Crash Bandicoot.
Did say that.
Even though there's the crazy third person running around blowing up stuff that Insomniac is now well known for, I think a lot of how the mechanics and stuff work in that game harken back to Crash.
Yeah, which makes sense. It was an evolution from Crash, really, that period of PlayStation platformers, as Spyro was as well.
Yeah.
As an evolution of Mario 64, Banjo-Kazooie. That's the classic template was created for 3D platformers at that time.
It just feels like it borrows a lot from Crash, though. You know what I mean? Like
Crash specifically.
In the way that
you attack.
There's boxes around boxes that you have to break, and some of them do the flashy, explodey thing. And
I love breaking boxes. I've done that a lot in Skylanders.
Yeah. But
Lego games.
Of course. It's just, I don't know. It feels like that's all you really do, and then you're blowing up enemies between it. It's got a weird thing as well, where I was playing it on normal, and I'm just like, okay, this is a kid's game. I was dying a fucking awful lot. And I'd been upgrading my weapons, I'd been doing everything. I got the rhino, and I did all the side stuff, got all the golden bolts. Yeah, you know, you get gold bolts in Ratchet and Clank. They're the secret collectible that unlock cheats and the like. Okay. And so I was doing that, and then I was still getting my ass kicked towards the end of that game.
Well, isn't that good? It's a challenge, at least.
No.
No, it was bad.
It was more of a, this is really frustrating because there seems to be a lot of enemies between this checkpoint and the next.
Mm.
And there was no way for me to go back and get more ammo or more health. I was just stuck in the situation. So I just had to keep banging my head up against certain bits of that game until I got through them. I mean, the boss fights are fun. Most of the combat's generally fun, but at the end of the game, it just kind of goes, nah, fuck it. You know what to do now. You should have really upgraded weapons. Here you go.
Mm.
And then you just left to deal with everything. And it just, I don't know. It just rubbed me the wrong way a little bit towards the end of that game. I liked it, but...
It's older game design. Do you think a game like Ratchet & Clank could still get released now? Do you think it's that different in terms of...
Well, I mean, the fact that they had to release this game as a budget title should really say a lot about the game, I think.
So how well has it aged?
Not very well, but I mean... Neither of a lot of the games of the PS2 era. I think we've come such a long way since then that going back and just releasing that game, which could have quite easily happened with anything. I mean, I think if you look at games like Doom, like we said, they've learned from modern first-person shooters but still managed to keep it Doom. I think they could have taken some stuff from modern platformers. And I mean, I know there aren't as many as there once were, and I know the genre is a bit stagnant now. But I think they could have gone, okay, well, what makes sense in a 2016 landscape? What should we do with this game? What shouldn't we do with this land?
I guess they felt confident that it was a fairly solid game to begin with. Or the idea was, or the brief was, just to give it a lick of paint.
Yeah, but I mean, they do change certain things up about it. Like the way the upgrades work is now through cards, which you get through beating enemies. There's like a collectible aspect. Don't buy the rhino anymore like you did in the original one, which is why I never used all of the weapons. Like, there's a good through path of you getting weapon upgrades and stuff in this game that I think the original lacked, so they didn't do that. But I don't know, like, a lot of those weapons, while they may seem cool, I still think they're pretty pointless. I think I ended up using pretty much the basic weapon and the spanner a lot more than anything else.
Well, I remember about how the Ratchet and Clank series evolved is there was more emphasis put on weapons the further they went along with the games.
I still remember the first game being like, you know, you got Groovitrons, you got all this kind of stuff. Yeah. I still remember all of these things being there. Yeah. But they're more fun ideas rather than guns.
Was Ratchet and Clank, though, the original, the best game of the series? Or did it get better? I don't know. I've not spent as much time with them, maybe a few.
I only ever beat the first one. I didn't really like. I own everyone after it. I even own Gladiators, which is the arena-based shooter they released. Like.
I own the Nexus, Ratchet and Clank Nexus, and is that the one that's like a tower defense game?
Maybe.
That was like, no, that's Q-Force. I actually got quite into Q-Force.
Yeah.
But yeah, what does it say about the series that they've gone back and remade the original? I know it's a tie-in with the film.
Yeah.
But alternatively, they could have made... I guess they wanted to introduce Ratchet & Clank to a new audience.
Yeah,
and that's why they've done it.
But I mean, like...
Is it the nail in the coffin? Is this the end? Or is this just the rebirth? The rebirth of Ratchet & Clank through a remake?
Well, you know what I mean. I would not be against seeing a remake of Ratchet and Clank 2 if they start going and remaking the older games.
But you could argue why.
I would maybe... Well, I mean, like, I have no interest in going back to the PS2 title, but I mean, they did HD remaster of the second getting third game anyway on the PS3.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll just pick that up. I don't know. I think that's even available on Vita. I'm just not sure if I want to. Maybe if enough time passed, like this came around at the time where I was like, yeah, I could play a 3D platformer. That sounds good. But
and there's not much choice at the moment.
I mean, not even from Nintendo. I mean, like, even Nintendo kind of gone back to the 2D route. I mean, there's not been a Mario Galaxy or anything of that ilk this generation, is there? Like,
Mario 3D World is very good.
Yeah, that's true.
A wonderful game.
Yeah, I completely forgot about 3D World. Okay, never mind.
It's been that long since 3D World now, hasn't it?
And that was almost 2.5 years ago at this point, I think, bordering on 3.
I think then Nintendo will be wise to launch their next console with a proper Mario game.
I assume they probably will. I
do hope so, because I think a lot of people want that now.
You know, I mean, they've been working on Star Fox for how long now? Like,
A while. Yeah, yeah, quite a while.
That game was announced pretty much with the Wii U.
Was it?
Yeah.
That early?
They showed a demo of what they could do with it, okay. I'm sure, fair enough. Back at the first E3. And then even that game that became Star Fox Command or whatever Guard. It was called, Guard, was an E3 demo, right? Like.
Mm. But it wasn't that early on the Wii U's lifespan.
No, maybe a year in.
Perhaps. But yes, I think a lot of people want a true sequel to Mario 64. And that's the type of game which we haven't seen for quite some time. Could be quite nice to see that return.
Yeah, true.
Have you got any predictions for E3? I mean, that's on the horizon, isn't it? Is there anything you'd really like to see there?
Time.
What's Final Fantasy, Shenmue, maybe? I'd love to see some update.
I would like to see some Shenmue.
I think it's only right that after last year, let's have a recap. Let's see where they are with it. I know if you've backed the Kickstarter, you'll get emails about the production, which are quite interesting to read. But to see some gameplay footage would be super duper. But how far into it are they?
That's the thing. I mean, it's not even supposed to be released until 2017, 18, right?
Is it 18? 17? I can't remember now, actually. But yeah, we're not going to see much from Nintendo, I suppose, because...
Literally nothing.
We're going to see Zelda. We're going to see probably a lot more of Zelda, I imagine.
We're going to see Zelda for the Wii.
For
the Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
No NX. Nothing. Just the Wii U version. That's literally all they're taking.
We'll see a bit more Pokemon, I suppose. Sun and Moon.
I don't know if they're doing an E3 press conference or anything, man. Yeah, like, I know they're not doing an E3 press conference. I don't even know if they're doing a Nintendo Direct.
I imagine they will do.
I'm 90% sure I've heard that they're not going to.
Maybe they'll just do a Zelda special and be done with it.
Maybe. Maybe they will. I don't know. But from my understanding, I don't think they're going to E3 with the same aplomb they were last year.
Mm.
And I mean, Bethesda and EA are also doing their own thing. I think it'll only be a Ubisoft, a Microsoft, and a Sony conference this year anyway, so...
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes. We'll see what that does.
Exciting times. I expect maybe you hear something about Scalebound, perhaps, from Platinum Games. That was one of the exclusive Xbox titles, which was most interesting. Maybe
got
some more
here, so.
Of Rare's pirate game.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that.
I would like to see that also. I would like to see Id now announce something else, maybe a remake of Quake after the strength of Doom. I hope so.
So soon after?
Maybe. I mean, you know, like they announced Doom pretty much. Like Doom had been like secretly in the works. I mean, like, think about it. When I ordered
beta.
Wolfenstein, like it says, like, hey, you get the Doom beta when you play this game. Like, so, I mean, they must have something up their sleeves, you know, even if it's another Wolfenstein game or something, I don't know.
Well, as we said before, if it comes to new first-person shooters, I'll be most excited about Time Splitters or maybe a new James Bond shooter.
That's not going to happen.
There's a little bit of a gap there in the market, I think, because you've got these sci-fi shooters, you've got these military shooters.
Yeah.
But where's your James Bond-style secret agent shooters? That's what I want. If it doesn't have to be James Bond.
Anything a bit... Well, I mean, like, Dishonored's kind of that. You know what I mean? Like, Dishonored's a stealthy game. I know it's not using, like, automatic weapons or whatever, but I mean, that's kind of where that went, is into stealth first-person shooters rather than anything else.
Oh. Funny you mentioned Dishonored.
I know, you picked that up as well.
Yeah, as part of the deal, I picked up Dishonored. I might as well tell you what else I picked up.
Go for it, Parry.
I picked up Saint Seiya Brave Soldiers.
Saint Seiya!
What is it?
It's Sensei. You said
Sensei.
It right.
Oh, I said
just
it right.
Doing the intro because the guy is a beam of light.
And I think I said Brave Warriors. I meant Brave Soldiers.
Brave Soldiers? What's that?
That's the game.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah,
sorry.
That's the subtitle to the game. And this is a game I actually already have as a digital copy. But I wanted to free up some space. And being a collector of fighting games in any way.
Oh, you like them physical releases, when
they're cheap enough.
Yeah.
This was certainly that, so I had to pick that one up. I also took a chance on Lost Planet 3.
I'm very curious to see what you think that game is like, because I love the first one. I'm a bit indifferent to the second.
Well, I remember the response to Lost Planet 3 was very lukewarm, but it's incredibly cheap nowadays. And
yes, it is.
I thought, well, I was interested enough to give it a go. And Dishonored, of course, which we just mentioned, that should be interesting. It takes up a whole 11 gig, including all... It's a Game of the Year edition, so you've got all the extra add-on content included as well.
Well, I mean, you know, Doom took up 48 gig of my hard drive, so I've got to play through that quite quick because I need the space.
Yeah, I got to make some space on my PS3 if I want to play Dishonored. I've been actually been playing something I purchased. Because you know, remember last week I said I purchased Vice City? For the PS4, I couldn't resist Vice City Stories for the PS3, which was only $1.99.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah, bargain. This is a rather good... First appeared on the PSP, of course, then was ported to PS2. This is a port of the PS2 version of the game.
Yeah.
Still holds up very well, very enjoyable. Gave that a quick go this morning. You know what to expect. It's fairly similar to Vice City, but a little bit of a different setup.
Yeah, I never played those. They were the PSP games originally, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's you're a guy, you just join the army, his name's Vince, I think, yeah. And then your army sergeant's not quite as straight as you'd anticipated. I mean, in the sense that he's a bit corrupt.
Yeah.
And he's getting you to do deals like pick up money, selling guns and dealing drugs and... Typical
general
GTA
then, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, you have to pick up some money from some guys, and then it turns into a bit of a mess, you know, and that's how GTA goes. But one of the things that is so good about those games is how well the vehicles handle, and this is carried across to this game as well.
Yeah.
And it's the same city, I'm pretty sure.
I think it seems
there's
so
a little less detail, perhaps, than on Vice City. But overall, I think the character mod is actually better than he did on Vice City.
Really?
Which is
good.
Quite
that's high praise.
Funny. Yeah, good game and very, very cheap, which we like.
Oh, $1.99, you can't really fault it, can you?
No.
Tell you a price you can't fault either. I bought Murder Soul Suspect for 39 krona for the limited edition in GameStop.
39 krona.
39 krona.
£4 or something.
£4 to me and you.
Yeah.
And...
Brand new.
Factory sealed. Not even the copy that was on the shelf. They pulled one out of the back and then put the box back to go back. So if you want to go and get one, I'm sure there's one still there.
Yeah. What is it?
It's a third-person action game where you have a lot of puzzle elements where essentially you are a private investigator who gets murdered, and then it's up to you to solve your own murder.
Oh, I like that concept.
Yeah, it sounds like a good concept. I was chatting with the guy at GameStop when I bought it, actually. He said, it's not a bad game. He said the gameplay's, like, average. He goes, the story and the idea is really good, though. So I was like, okay, cool. That's what I'm looking for. I mean, it's a very early PlayStation 4 title, so, I mean, we've come a long way since then. As we're talking about now, like, there's a wealth of games out. Games are doing new and interesting things. So I think this is kind of a game that was... caught in the middle of that. And I mean, it is by a smaller studio, even if it is published by Square Enix.
Quality of these modern games being released for these systems is incredibly high, just slightly. I mean, you just look at some of the games we've got in the past few months. And
yeah.
Like Batman and what else am I trying to think of? Assassin's Creed Syndicate is very polished, very good game. There's a lot of them. I mean, I think thinking back at Tomb Raider at the time was rather impressive indeed. I'm sure the sequel's very good too. I just think we've reached a point now where, wow.
Well, I mean, you know, Giant Bomb Cast, Giant Beast Cast, actually, Vinnie Caruana always says, right now is the best time for gaming. And it's true because you get these amazing titles that are now currently coming out, but you can also go back and play all the other great stuff.
You can, and there's a wealth of indies out there as well. As I said last week on the podcast, very easily accessible on the PlayStation, very pushed to the front of the
store. Shit, you speaking of indies makes me realise I was about to show you something before we came on this podcast, and I still hope I can pre-order it, because otherwise I'm going to be very, very sad. Is the Hyperlight Drifter... Oh, I can still pre-order it. That's good. The Hyperlight Drifter... limited edition. The Hyperlight Drifter limited edition, Tom Parry.
Yes,
go
on.
A copy of Hyperlight Drifter. But it's a download code, as you would expect. But it looks like this.
Go on, he's showing me something on his phone.
I need to scroll down. I apologize, podcast listeners, because I know this doesn't sound great. But they're actually releasing the game, and
I don't know.
It's
what
annoying you can't see it. It's a
That game. Yes.
They're releasing it on in a Super Nintendo Hyperlight box with a Super Nintendo cartridge and a manual.
Not a playable Super Nintendo cartridge.
Not a playable
cartridge.
One. Yeah, unfortunately, in like the Q&A at the bottom, it says like, version. "Hey, can I play?" What? I'll read it to you. Actually, it says, "Will this cartridge do anything if I plug it into my Super Nintendo? Besides looking rad, no." So unfortunately, there isn't a Super Nintendo version of it, but it looks fucking cool.
It's cool. They can. I'm surprised actually they're doing that because it's very Nintendo to take a Nintendo cartridge as it is.
But I mean, you know, I assume they don't own they must have some kind of patent, but I mean, people have been making repo cartridges and stuff for years.
This one's been sold.
Yeah, that's true.
Properly, you know.
Oh, actually, great. Available on the US store only, so I can't buy it.
Oh.
Never mind.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's no good.
Tis not, but I mean, you know, maybe they'll do a UK one that actually looks like the bugger. I'm gonna pre-order it anyway. Da-da-da-dum.
So you're listening to the sound of Matt Boyle pre-ordering.
I apologize. I put my phone down. I can still do it. Anyways, what else have you been buying?
Been buying much more, but I've been playing a few games. I got stuck back into Skylanders.
Yeah.
Giants. Still enjoy that very much. It's actually going really long.
Yeah.
Surprised at the length of the game. 25% complete. I don't see any sign of it letting up yet.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I've been enjoying that one very much. Let's see my little list here, what else I've been playing recently. I should remember because I was playing loads of things this morning. Yeah, here we are. Earth Defense Force 2025.
Oh, really? What Earth Defense Force
game? I've had this for ages.
Yeah?
I enjoyed the original Earth Defense Force on the PS2. This is pretty much the same sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's slightly improved. You know, it is running on a PS3. It looks slightly better than it did on the PS2. Actually, it's not a game which has ever been renowned for its visuals, although it does manage to throw a lot of giant mutated ants at you.
Yeah.
And it's intentionally hilarious as well, because now you have dialogue between your squad and you. So you go in as the EDF, and they're chanting, EDF, EDF, and they're, come on, guys. And it's so cliched. And they keep repeating the giant enemy insects.
Yeah.
We've got to get them, giant enemy insects.
Yeah, well, they've become very aware of itself. I mean, it always was, but now it's to the power 10.
We thought we destroyed the giant enemy insects 7 years ago, but they have returned and they are stronger. The giant enemy insects really pose a threat.
Man, I want to get that game.
What a riot. I mean, it's simple. For those not familiar with the game, you are part of the EDF, the Earth Defense Force.
Also known as the Starship Troopers, wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah, and the city's being attacked by giant enemy insects. It starts off with ants, and you get spiders. And later on in the game, it's not just purely insects. It's like Godzilla-type creatures and such. Well, there was in the last Earth Defense Force I played.
Yeah.
But you've got different troop types. Well, you've got your normal Marines. You know, you can pretty much know what to expect there. You're running around on ground with machine guns and bazookas and such. And then you've got your flying characters as well. You've got a little jetpack. You can fly around. Quite a lot of different weapons that you can unlock that do see different things.
Yeah.
Simple, good, clean.
Good,
fun.
Clean fun.
Yeah,
what we like.
I'm always surprised the amount of enemies that they've managed to throw at you.
Yeah, I mean, it's always been impressive, even on the PS2. I mean, does the frame rate suffer at all?
No.
No?
Not at all. It holds it all very well. You know, it just sets about to do this thing as well as it possibly can.
Yeah.
The sacrifice of maybe the not having great graphics. A little bit muddy, a little bit grimy graphics, a little bit rough around the edges. Not bad by any means. It certainly serves its purpose. And the ants, the actual enemy ants, look really impressive.
Yeah.
And there's a real bulk and heft to them, because if you kill one, it stays there for a good while, you know.
Yeah.
And it's a solid object. It's not something you walk through. It's a big, bloody, giant
insect.
Insect.
Yeah.
And quite scary.
Yeah.
That's the spiders as well. They're pretty scary. Okay. The way they move and kind of flock together, and it's a lot more interaction with... you can get a better feel of it because you can hear the civilians. You can see them running around, the civilians, now, and you can hear them, and they get eaten and stuff. And then, as I said before, your team are talking to each other, and it just feels a little bit more massive. And
okay. Sounds cool.
Yeah, of course, buildings are destructible. That's another thing about the game. The environments, you can blow to bits.
Yeah.
And seeing one of them huge skyscrapers fall, you know, is quite... Whoa, the scale of the game is quite impressive.
That's awesome.
So that game's been out a while now, 2025. I don't know if there's been... I think there's been one for the PS4 since
I think there has, yeah. I'd be intrigued
to see what that looks like, actually. I mean, essentially, the games always play the same, but... I imagine that at least it'll have a graphical upgrade.
I would assume so. It's called Earth Defense Force 4.1.
That's an interesting title. I guess I missed out on another one.
Maybe.
Along the line, because I've got the first one and maybe must have the third one.
Yeah.
There's one I missed, I suppose. Other than that, I've been playing Destiny. We got stuck into some of the Taken King recently. And it really does... it's a lot more cinematic than... Destiny originally was.
Yeah.
Very elaborate pre-rendered introduction. I mean, I imagine most of our listeners who have any interest in Destiny have played The Taken King now, so it's been out for quite some time. But I was playing for the first time the other day, and I have to say, it's a change of pace. It feels like a more traditional story-based first-person shooter than... Because Destiny used to just give you big open world, pretty much.
It did, yeah.
There wasn't any really scripted events within that. The story took sort of a back seat to some very open, free-roaming shooting gameplay.
Yeah.
This takes a different angle on it and delivers a more cinematic experience with a villain. This guy is the villain.
Yeah.
I mean, Destiny never really had that. It had a bunch of enemies, different aliens, which are all fighting, and your goal was to shoot them because they're bad, pretty much. Maybe I missed a lot because I wasn't really focusing on the story.
There isn't a lot of story there. It's pretty much bang on the money.
I couldn't find it. I was looking for the story.
It's hidden in grimoire cards.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not there at all.
But at least in Taken King, the story is actually delivered to you.
Yeah.
In a better way, I think. So I look forward to continuing with that. It's a very robust first-person shooter, and I'm really starting to get into the item management. That's a huge part of the game as well, isn't it? The upgrading and the item management and deciding what guns to have and all the different gun types and getting the bounties and... There are these little goals that you can work towards. For example, get so many kills with an arc gun or a whatever gun. I've forgotten what they're all called now.
Me too.
You've not played it for a while.
No, it's been a long time.
Yeah. And that gives you an extra incentive to keep playing. It gives you the same sort of feeling as, say, an RPG, and you're building stats up, you're building up collections of weapons and clothing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I like Destiny, and it's... I'm looking forward to seeing what else they do with it. That's got a future, at least.
Well, I mean, apparently the rumour mill is rife for the moment. Apparently No Man's Sky has been delayed by a month or two, but also apparently Destiny 2 may also be delayed.
Mm.
Apparently they've scrapped it and gone back to the start again with Destiny 2.
Okay.
So whatever they were working on for next year's release apparently is no more. But that's still a rumour at this point. It's not confirmed.
Destiny 2, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Well,
whatever that'll be.
By that time, I might have played through all the content. But if there is a constant stream of stuff, then...
Yeah, we'll see.
Hmm.
Yeah.
We will indeed.
Anyways, you buying anything else or...?
Buying anything else? Actually, no, Matthew. I've had a fairly quiet week other than my trip to GameStop yesterday.
Well, what did I get? No, I haven't actually really bought that much this week. I picked up one or two Game Boy games. Another Chinese cartridge came into view, which is a 4-in-1 Nintendo cart this time, rather than the Taito and Iron Man's I've got already. So it's Yakuman, which is a Mahjong game, Tetris, Tennis, and Alleyways all on one cartridge, which is nice. I paid a wonderful £7 for that. So I was just like, yes, buy it. It was free postage, so I'm looking forward to getting that. Also picked up a copy of Blaster Master Jr., which is, again, a Chinese cart, and copies of Ninja Taro, which is a Jalco ninja game based on Ninja Kid, but called... The series' only release in the West is called Maru's Mission on the Game Boy, which is a pretty fun platformer. But this is a top-down RPG. So I'm looking forward to playing that. And I also finally got Beetlejuice for the Game Boy, which I've been long curious about, based on the cartoon, not the television. The movie, even.
Yes, I have a vague recollection of the animation.
Yeah, I've not played the game. I don't know if it's any good. It's published by LJN, so it's probably not. But it's one of those last 30 cartridges I need for my Game Boy collection. So I was like, yeah, great. I'll have that. And that's pretty much me, to be honest. Other than Doom and Overwatch, it's been a quiet week for pickups.
Okay, it's about time we mention our competition.
Yes!
That's coming up.
Competition time!
This is not something we do often on
Combat
Attack, but we actually have a download code for a game. The game is Hyper Bounce Blast. It looks a lot like Geometry Wars to me,
yes,
actually, from watching the video of it. We've been very kindly given this game to give away on the show. It's had some great reviews, actually, here on Steam. It is for Windows, so if you want to get involved with this, you've got to make sure you can play the game.
Yes.
What we'll do is we'll post a question on our Twitter.
Yes. At TMAcast.
And the first person to answer correctly will...
Oh, I'm going to do it random.
Shall we?
First person's... I don't like that on podcasts.
You don't like it?
I don't like it. Well, it means someone's going to listen to an hour of this podcast after we upload it, whenever that is, and different time zones. It messes things up. I will say, if
that sounds fair,
you have until Saturday the... Let me just open a calendar to see what the date is next Saturday. You have until 1 a.m. on Saturday the 4th of June to enter this. We will post the question actually before the podcast, so chances are you may have actually answered this question already by the time you're listening to this, but I'll say it here now, so there will be a question on our Twitter, which we yet to decide.
We have yet to decide, that's what we're not going
to
there
will be
a
chance to win
question.
This wonderful game, but as Tom said, it's for Windows only, it's a Steam code, so...
Yes, that's what you'll get.
Yes, cool, we'll put that up rather soon. Okay, that brings us to the end of the podcast then, I think.
Jolly good. Show.
Yes. Jolly good show.
Matthew. Who?
That's pretty much it. As I've said, you can find us on Twitter at TMAcast, where we'll be posting this competition question, as well as on facebook.com/TomAndMattAttack, where you can find out some stuff about us, as well as postings of the podcast every week, which you can also find at blastprocess.com and also TomAndMattAttack.com/podcast. Also, listen to us in iTunes, and if you're there, give us a cheeky rate and subscribe, because that's always appreciated. Cool. Right then.
Yeah.
I'm going to go lie down. Cool. That took a lot of energy. Thank you very much, Mr. Parry. And until next week, people listening out there in radio and podcasting land, game on.
Game on.